And you can take her home with you, because I know that she's got audios back, not her personally. I was just going to sit there, and it's like, well, she just keeps singing if I just keep sitting there. That was so awesome. Thank you so much. That song actually reminded me of one of my favorite quotes from Rumi, where he talks about the first time I heard a story, I looked for you, looking for spirit. So today's talk is about dealing with conditions. And I was thinking about Les Brown, great motivational speaker, and he tells a story of a friend of his who is walking by a house, and on the porch there's a dog that's just whining and crying. And he asked the people on the porch, why is your dog whining and crying? And they said, because it's laying on a nail. And he's like, well, why doesn't it get off? It doesn't hurt bad enough. Only hurts bad enough to whine and complain about it, but it doesn't hurt bad enough to actually do something about it. And sometimes we're dealing with conditions like that. It's like, it doesn't hurt bad enough for me to do anything about it. Only hurts bad enough for me just to whine and complain about it. So when we get into that space of whining and complaining, it's like, what is really going on here? The Science of Mind, Ernest Holmes said, there is a power in the universe, and we can use it for good. Yes! We can also use it for other things too, right? Because it's really about what we're planting and how we're dealing with the conditions of the world. Because we can look out here and say, oh, ain't it awful? And we can whine and complain about it, or we can change our thinking so that we can change our life. So dealing with conditions, I was thinking about Viktor Frankl, author of Man's Search for Meaning. Most of you, if you've read his book or know anything about Viktor Frankl, he was one of the survivors of the Holocaust. He was in a concentration camp for over 3 years. And in that, they kept taking away everything. And the groups that were working together, I mean, all day long, they had to keep thinking about love and thinking about the direction that they're going and that life is better than this, despite these conditions. And when it came down that the only thing he had left was his ring, and they noticed it one day and they took his ring, he's like, that was like the end, the surrender of everything. So when can I just surrender to everything and know that I am creating my own reality? One of the things that Viktor Frankl says in his book, Man's Search for Meaning, after enduring the suffering in these camps, Frankl validated his hallmark conclusion that even in the most absurd, painful, and dehumanizing situations, life has potential meaning, and that therefore even suffering has meaning. The truth is that love, as he says, that love is the ultimate and the highest goal to which man can aspire, as he grasps for meaning. That one of the greatest human things that we're looking for is looking for our meaning. What am I here for? What is my purpose? And many times we put ourselves through interesting types of situations, finding that meaning. And then we awaken to a wonderful teaching like this or a wonderful philosophy, something that wakes us up. And this is such a great philosophy. I absolutely love it. The book of the month this month is Love and Law. Love and Law. And Ernest Holmes, the founder of this teaching, says in Love and Law, here is the way to do it. You are not dealing with conditions. You are dealing with thought. 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 Nothing else. Thought and spirit. So we're really dealing with thought. And a long time ago, I took a workshop and they drew two circles. First circle is, here's what happened in life. Everything that's happened is neutral. And then they drew another circle that overlapped that circle, and they said, here's our thought about what happened. And many times this neutral event, we, with our thoughts, make it horrendous. It's like, oh, that was the worst thing ever. And somebody else maybe went through the same thing. If you have siblings, you maybe have seen this. It's like, they see it this way, you see it that way. Even when they're doing like a car crash, you get five different people telling five different stories because we're all seeing it from our own viewpoint, our own perspective. And some are seeing the positive of it and seeing the good, and others maybe not so much. And this wonderful teaching, this wonderful philosophy, we get the opportunity to see things from a higher viewpoint because we know the power of our thoughts. In the Bible, it says, as you sow, so shall you reap. Now, one thing I know about the Bible is I know that it is not an agricultural book. It's filled with wonderful stories, wonderful metaphors. And so what we sow, what we're planting in the ground, what we're planting in the fertile mind of our soil is what's growing. And if we want something better to grow, then we turn away from the condition and we see things from a different viewpoint. And the more we get in the habit of doing that, the more we just step into the picture. And there are three things to do with that. So we get a mental equivalent. And a mental equivalent, it's like planting a seed and I'm knowing that that is going to grow. And so I get clarity. What do I want to grow? The more clear we get about what we're wanting to grow, the easier it is to plant that seed. Because if I just take a handful of seeds and throw them in the ground, it's like anything could grow. But the more clear I get about what it is that I'm wanting, how do I want my health to look? How do I want my finances to look? How do I want my career and my life purpose, my mission, the reason I'm here? Even if you're not working anymore, it's like there's always something that we're doing. And what am I supporting? This or that? What is my purpose to get up every single day? And then what do I want my health to look like? So looking at all the different aspects of our life and getting extremely clear about it. First, we get the clarity. And with the mental equivalent, the clearer you are with the seeds that you're planting, the easier it is for that to grow. So I don't know about any of you, but sometimes I change that seed every day. It's like, oh, let's put something else in there. Oh, no, I think, oh, because consistency, not so much a human trait, right? It's like, oh, pretty colors. Oh, look at this. Oh, hey, look at who's here today. We get going off in different tangents, and so the more we can get clear and have that clarity. So the first step with our mental equivalent is clarity. The second step is focus. Because once we plant those seeds, let me give it some love. Let me give it some sunshine, some brilliant thoughts. Let me step into that knowing that I've already planted the seed, and I'll focus on that. I'll keep focusing on it, and let it get even clearer and clearer and clearer as I'm giving it more love. And the third step is conviction. I know that I've planted this and it's going to grow. I know that it's already happening. The more clear we are, the more we put that focus on it, and the more we have the conviction that it is already done. Ernest Holmes says this in Love and Law. It depends then upon what we think, what we shall become, and the sooner the individuals who are seeking to operate this principle will realize that it depends only upon what they think and depends upon nothing else. And then the sooner we learn to depend upon nothing else, the sooner we will demonstrate the principle. So with that, in this teaching, we do spiritual mind treatment. So we've got our clarity. We know what we want. We're focusing on it. And if you haven't seen a practitioner, I encourage you to see a practitioner, because sometimes when I can't see it as clear, I know a practitioner can. Practitioners are trained in spiritual mind treatment. They are trained in the clarity and seeing the divinity, even when we can't see it in ourselves. They can see it already accomplished. And I always say when something, you're wanting something, as many people on the same page as you can get, the better. And the more we keep stating positive affirmations, best day ever, my life is whole, perfect, and complete, I'm in the flow of abundance, I'm in the goodness, I'm in the love, and then come from that space of love, stepping into that space of love, because really what else is there? And if we can see everything from love, because everything is love and law, and these spiritual mind principles are working all the time. So we first get that clarity, and then we know and we realize that there's only one power in the universe. And if there's only one power, then that power's in me, that power's in you. We are extremely powerful. I know Marianne Williams says in her book, it is not our failure of success, our failure that we most are afraid of, but it is how incredibly powerful we are. And we are so incredibly powerful. So owning that power, loving that power, and loving ourselves regardless of the conditions. And there's conditions going on in the world right now that we could just get into and be in the ain't it awful kind of thing, yet we are part of that collaboration, that co-creation in the universe. So the more clear we get about there is peace, love, joy, and harmony right here, right now, the easier it is to just stay in that flow and loving ourselves through it. I know I've talked about my children before. I have four children, three boys, one girl. And I remember being at a bookstore with them, and they are just going crazy all over the place. And I'm knowing that children are so receptive to energy. And it's like, so within, so without. If it's crazy out here, then something's going on in here. So I took just a few moments and closed my eyes and calmed myself. Breathing in, I calm my body. Exhale, I smile, in the words of Thich Nhat Hanh. And I got to that space of just centeredness, and all of a sudden they're sitting down reading, just being in a wonderful, calm space. That energy inside of us resonates out. So when we're in the midst of chaos, or when we're seeing things out there not as we would choose to have them be, that is the time to go within and connect to spirit, because it's flowing through us. So let me go inside. Let me release anything that doesn't serve me, and let me be at that space of love and peace. Breathing in, I calm my body. Exhale, I smile, because everything is perfect and amazing and wonderful. The fact that we showed up. I remember the lines of Les Brown, who used to say, you know, you survived one out of 9 billion sperm, and here you are. You're the winner. So we've already won. The fact that we're here, we won. And now what are we going to do with that? And letting go of the stuff of the past, because it doesn't matter what happened yesterday. All that matters is, what direction are we going? Am I going to a place that's fun and playful and happy? And if I am, then let me put that in my mind. Let me be clear about that. Let me focus on that. And let me stay it with conviction. And with that, remembering that, of course, we're creating all the time. Not just when we're in meditation time. Now I'm creating. Now I can do whatever I want because I'm not in that meditation time. Yet we're planting those seeds all the time. So making sure that we are taking our time to really focus. And what is my thought? It's such a constant, because our thoughts will go, it's that monkey mind chatter. Our thoughts will go from thing to thing to thing to thing. And making sure that each thing that it goes to is something positive that's uplifting spirit, instead of pulling the universe down or pulling us down. In The Science of Mind, Ernest Holmes says this: the possibility of demonstrating does not depend upon the environment, condition, location, personality, or opportunity. It depends slowly upon our belief and our acceptance and our willingness to comply with the law through which all good comes. Comply with the law, because it's happening all the time. You know, he says ignorance of the law is no exception. It doesn't matter. Even if you don't know, you're still creating. So what am I creating today? And am I coming from love in all that I see and all that I do and all that I have? And if I'm not, what's going on? What's going on inside of me? What am I holding on to, and why am I blocking my own good? Anybody ever block their own good? Stop it, I'm doing that all the time. Up until now, and now we're releasing those blocks, and we're moving in the direction of our dreams. We move in the direction of our most dominant thought. And it's almost like people are dragging their mantra around with them. So what is your dominant thought? What is it saying about you all day long? Because that is the direction we're moving. And we want to move in the direction of our dreams, move in the direction of our passion, move in the direction of peace. And if I'm not seeing peace out there, then let me close my eyes for a moment and say, breathing within, I calm my body. Exhale, I smile. Because there's so much to smile about. I've noticed that if I smile at people, they usually smile back. Rarely do I get somebody not smiling. And they're like, oh, you must just have the best life ever. And it's like, I do. And sometimes maybe in the back of your head, you're thinking, oh, yeah, it's not so good. But put that thought down. Move away from that thought. Turn away from that thought all the time. And get in, it is the best day ever, and I have the best life. That abundance flows. That goodness shows up. And I do not have to know the how. All I have to know is the what. That's one of the best things about this teaching that I love. Ernest Holmes would say, you do not have to know the how. Spirit will provide the how. All you need is the mental equivalent for the what. What is it that I want? How does my life in my perfect vision, how does it look? How does it feel? How does it smell? How does it taste? What are the sounds I'm hearing? And get clear about that. And then continue to focus on that and have total conviction. Maybe it's not right here, right this second, but it's showing up because I've put the order in. And the universe is always conspiring to support us. Always. I know Gabrielle Bernstein wrote a book called The Universe Has Your Back. Such a great book. She talks about A Course in Miracles and all of the great things there. And it's the universe is supporting us 24/7. The biggest thing is that we just don't get our own self out of the way because we keep planting all these other seeds, having all these other thoughts. Spot it, you got it. If I'm seeing something not good out there, then that's something inside of me. So coming from the place of love, and it's like all I see is beautiful and brilliance. You all looking good today. That's all I see, beauty, brilliance, prosperity, goodness, and love. And if we come from that space, then that's all our life is. Beauty, brilliance, prosperity, goodness, love. How many of you would take a dish of that? I'll take a dish of that. And it's, like I say, this teaching is so simple, yet it's not easy because it's a constant. We get to constantly remind ourselves, oh yeah, what was I thinking? I remember when my kids were in high school and they had enough of this teaching to be dangerous and to question you. So what's in your consciousness, Mom? So how'd this show up? What have you been thinking? It's like, I don't even know. I feel like my children showed up. I had 4 3¾ years, and so they are just boom, 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 Catholic in Nebraska for a while. So go forth and procreate, and I have 4 brilliant, amazing children. And I feel like I would just sit in a chair and listen to them tell their great stories and tell me about life and ask them questions, because many times I trusted their brilliance more so than trusting my own. And yet, you know, their brilliance is my brilliance. And many times we get in our own way. So the innocence of children. I've learned so much from children. When I was in Kansas City, I was running the youth, and little kid, I show him a mirror. He's 2 years old, and I'm like, who's that? And, it's me! It's me! Get excited about seeing you. It's me, looking in the mirror. Saying, it's me. How exciting is that? Full of potential, full of goodness, full of amazing creativity. Do you ever look at someone else and think, oh my God, like looking at Kelly, it's like, oh wow, if I was looking in the mirror and I'd be singing to myself, I'd be like, you are so good. And yet there may be other people that look at you that same way, because every life touches so many. So looking in the mirror and saying, wow, I am so good. Yeah, I would be doing that. I am doing that. We're all doing that. We all can do that. Because there's goodness, there's greatness, there's divinity in all of us. Individualized, unique, amazing. And Dr. Holmes goes on to say, our mission is to learn how to look at conditions in the world with the eyes of the divine. That's part of that Christ consciousness, that higher spirit, lifting ourselves up. Looking through the eyes of the divine until we believe completely in only the divine. Truth and looking, yeah, I messed that up, okay. But I forgive myself. It's the human condition. As we move forward, our mission is to learn how to look at conditions in our world with the eyes of the divine until we believe completely only in divine truth. And see that belief in the truth is the belief in the divine. As Ernest Holmes tells us, that we must have faith in God, not faith of God. Because there's only one, and that God essence is flowing in as and through us. I know when I first came to this teaching, they used to say, question everything. Don't believe anything I say. Question everything. Does it resonate for you? And then experiment. Because this is religious science, so we get to do the science part where we get to practice. Let me see if this works. If I plant these seeds and I have faith in them and I focus on them and I give them some love and sunshine, are they going to show up? And I've done that a time or two or 10 or 100. And I can absolutely say what you plant is definitely what you grow. As you sow, you definitely reap. And today, your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to love yourself unconditionally, to do the three steps of that mental equivalent. Get clear about everything that you're wanting. Focus on it, and then know with conviction that it is absolutely showing up right where you are. You do not have to know the how, just the what. What is it that I would love? Which is my favorite question to ask. What would I love? So let's go inside our heart of hearts and get that clarity inside. Asking Spirit, what would I love? Asking that inner knower, knowing that there is only one infinite power, one divine essence that keeps the stars aligned, keeps the oceans flowing. One power, one God, one goodness, one infinite intelligence, and that flows through all of us, individualized. I know it flows through me as it flows through each and every person here. That we just breathe that essence in and let go of anything that does not serve us. Knowing that life is good and life is very good. As I speak my word and claim for each and every person here, that there is that beautiful surrender of anything that doesn't serve, that we step into a new thought, into a new day, into a new moment, with clarity, with ease, with grace, with joy, knowing that every seed, every thought seed that I am planting in the fertile mind of my essence is growing, that I bring sunshine and love, with a true conviction that this is growing, that Spirit is guiding and directing me, that I treat and move my feet, that the universal inner knower continues to guide and direct, moving me in the right and perfect direction always, knowing the right people show up at the right time, the right doors open, that there is divine health, harmony, prosperity, love and goodness right here, right now, because we claim it. And in great, great gratitude for that knowing that it is already clear, it is already here. I just release my word into the universal action of the law, knowing all is well. As we all anchor this in mind together by saying, and so it is.